This is KTLO President Justin Shoman. As you're likely aware, the federal government has rescinded all funding for public media. This isn't just a budget cut. It's a targeted attempt to dismantle one of the most trusted institutions in America. Public media had significant bipartisan support throughout nearly all of its history. This attack on independent journalism is part of a broader attack on our democracy, our communities, and our shared values. Your support is more important than ever. Donate today at ktoo.org.
From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon. Broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Thursday, July 24th, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunathjish, Hawa Tuxknusum, Swama. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us via our live stream for a behind-the-scenes look inside the studio on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive or on KTOO's Facebook and Instagram pages. Today, a community marimba and muriba. I said that wrong. Imbira, thank you. Imbira, thank you, Betsy. A little concert is happening tonight with guests Caden Davis and Jesse Larson, who have been in Juno teaching folks their rhythmic ways. We have a little music and a chat. We also talk with Juno Community Foundation, who celebrates 25 years by granting $100,000 to local arts organizations. Deborah Craig is here with info on an upcoming age-friendly housing forum and more from the Juno Commission on Aging. And Jen is here from the Juno Public Libraries for a preview of upcoming events around the local libraries. Those conversations coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Hands and grass, ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakaya ha anikak, gunish cheesh.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kakash Ut, Florence Marks Shakley. The word this week is niche.
Niche.
And that means beach or shoreline. And here's a sentence. Go to the beach. Let's hear it again.
Niche.
Beach or shoreline. Gunesh Chish to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kakashat Florence Mark Shakley is Shukach Adi and a child of a Chukanidi man. She grew up on Mark's Trail in a family that used Tlingit as the primary language and were involved in documenting, teaching, and publishing in Tlingit. She has taught the language at all levels and has served as the teacher of teachers in the Juno area for decades now.
Tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Yeah, you are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO, 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. You can also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. And that right there was some really cool music, and we need to figure out what all that is. I have so many good guests here in the studio with me this afternoon. I have Caden Davis. He is the director of the Bellingham Community Marimba Project. He's founded bands. He teaches and composes and arranges, and his work has been performed around the country and beyond. Jesse Larson began playing marimba at the age of 11. She has traveled extensively to play and teach in places like Indonesia, Sweden, Hawaii, and of course, Alaska. Yay for Alaska. And Betsy Sims is not only our local sound genius, but she also works bringing marimbas and more to Juno through Juno's Njuzu Marimbas group, as well as teachers and events like these with Caden and Jesse. And if you aren't on Betsy's secret email list, it's not such a secret, but if you aren't on it yet, that's how you find out about some of these really cool events happening.
All the cool kids will be there.
All the cool kids will be there. So, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all here in the studio today. Wasiati, how are you, Betsy?
I am wonderful, Boston. Thank you.
Awesome. And you, Jesse, hello.
Gunathchish. Yeah, thank you.
Of course, happy to have you here. And Caden, how are you?
Stoked to be in Juno.
It's awesome. It's so great to have you both here. So, now, let's start with that instrument, and you can hold it up a little bit because people can see it there on the stream if they haven't seen it, but I'm just curious. This is, and I had it in my brain when in the intro, I was thinking the R was right after the M, and it confused my brain, but actually it's M-B-I-R-A, right?
Yes.
Mbira.
Yes, mbira.
Mbira.
Yes.
Okay, and what is this instrument that you were playing?
Yeah, so the mbira comes from Zimbabwe. It's the traditional instrument of, like, the Shona people of Zimbabwe. It's over 1,000 years old. It's likened to a thumb piano. That's kind of what Westerners will associate with this, but it has metal keys that you strike. There are sort of two, like, manuals or ranks, if you want to liken it to an organ, like a layer above another layer of keys that you pluck with your left thumb. And then on the right side, it has another rank of keys that you pluck with your right thumb and your left pointer finger. I think I said all of that right, but I might have.
It's all good.
And then there are bottle caps or some kind of buzzers attached to the instrument. And that's what, I don't know where the, I don't,
it's
I don't
right
know
there.
The camera
yeah,
can't
you,
see.
Yeah, they can see it.
So these rattle, and then all the bottle caps on this resonator rattle. And this is, the mbira itself is just this part. It's wedged into this, like, deze. It's called a deze, which makes it significantly louder. It's like a resonator. And it's literally just wedged in with a stick. So that's a little bit about what the instrument is. But
it is
traditional from Zimbabwe, and it plays repertoire that has been orally passed down for about 1,000 years since the instrument's invention, that was created by, like, Zimbabwean ancestors.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yes.
And maybe we'll get a picture of it as well, so that those who aren't on the video, I can post it on our webpage and we can see that. I'll take a picture maybe when you're performing here next. And then Jesse, what is it that you were playing?
Yeah, so those were the hosha, which are like the gourd shakers. And they always accompany mbira music, and we also, when you have like a marimba band as well, you'll have hosho, and it's basically like the drum kit. We're just keeping the beat the whole time, and that's like the role of the hosho player, is to just like keep things driving and keep things together.
Oh, that's so cool. Now, I mentioned that you started playing marimbas at 11, so this has been sort of a lifelong thing for you. How did
Absolutely,
you get started in it?
So there's little pockets of this music all over the country, and like Caden grew up in one in Idaho, and there's a whole bunch in the Northwest as well, and I grew up in Colorado, and there was a little pocket of Zimbabwean music in Boulder, and I just like loved it immediately and just like took off with it, and I think that's kind of the same story for Caden too. Like, it just kind of grabs people and then you just you can't stop.
Caden, what is it about this that grabbed you?
How
much time do we have?
So I have a degree in like trumpet performance. So I studied classical music in college and in undergrad, and I've played marimba since I was about 8 years old. I grew up in like a community, and actually in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, of all places, I started playing Zimbabwean music.
Wow.
It's very, very kind of bizarre. But, I mean, I started at a young age playing marimba first, and then when I was in college, I was, like, bored of classical music because it's... I won't get into that. But I got really fascinated by mbira music because it's so intricate and it's so old. And it's, like, all orally composed and taught. And so there's all these complicated, like, musical systems within mbira music that blow my mind in, like, a ton of ways. Like, every single day that I play, which is, like, every day, I have a new revelation about the music. It's, like, it's a never-ending well of, like, just musical depth. And it just kind of keeps me searching. And the music itself is so fascinating. And its role in culture, in, like, Zimbabwean culture. Of course, I'm not a Zimbabwean. We just got back from Zimbabwe, though, like, kind of studying this instrument, this music, and the role that it plays in Zimbabwean culture, like, can't really be overstated. It's very important to, like, traditional culture. And so we got a glimpse of, like, Zimbabwean culture being there, and it's, like, it's beautiful. The Zimbabwean culture is unbelievably beautiful for so many reasons, and the music that, like, is produced by that culture and the things that the music represents because of that culture and within that culture, it's, like, beautiful. So there's a lot of reasons that I really, like, find myself attached to this instrument.
That's
but I'm also
cool.
obsessed with playing it. It's very cathartic.
Yeah. Well, it's great that you were here in town teaching some of our local folks who are interested in this. And there's a little house concert tonight, and we can't give the address out over the air, but if you are interested in attending this house concert, Betsy, what do we do to get on your secret email list? Do we have to email you, or what do we do?
Yes, you can email me. It's very easy. It's just Juno Marimbas, with an S, junomarimbas@gmail.com. And I don't have to spell Juno in this town. People should know how to do that. So if you send me a note... can I do my phone number?
Of course, yeah. It's up to you.
You can totally do. I'm also at 907-209-3202. If you want to come to the show tonight, it's in the flats downtown, and I can give directions, and you're welcome to come. It's going to be super cool.
I'm sure that most people in this town already have your phone number, Betsy.
They probably do.
209-3202.
Yes.
And or you can email junomarimbas@gmail.com. And the concert is at what time
it's
tonight?
It's at 7 p.m. tonight.
Okay, it's going to be at 7 p.m. tonight. So if you're listening to the re-air of Juno Afternoon later in the evening, you're too late.
Exactly.
but if you want to learn about other things that are coming up in the future that might have to do with marimbas, or the mbira or anything else that Caden and Jesse might be doing if they come back. We also had some people come here last year, I think it was, which was really fun.
There's more. I have a Zimbabwean coming in a couple weeks.
Yeah, a lot of people
coming.
I'll
bring him back, too.
Yes, we'd love to have them. And so, Jesse, where do we follow you for more information about what's going on with your life in marimbas? Do you have an Instagram or something?
Yeah, I guess Instagram. Yeah. It's not very...
the Palmway page.
Yeah. Oh, actually, our band's... page would be the thing to follow. And
let's do that.
What is that? Palmway?
Palmway
Marimba?
Marimba. Yeah, I think it's just Palmway Marimba.
Yeah. And spell Palmway for folks.
Yeah, so Palmway, P-A-M-W-E, Palmway Marimba. You can find us. We just released an album. We just recorded and released an album in January.
Yeah.
Sweet.
It's out on all streaming services.
Awesome.
And it's, like, really fun, really high energy music. Yeah. And all that music, like, comes from the mbira. So the marimba ensemble, like, plays a lot of mbira repertoire. So they're very related in that way.
Oh, that's cool.
So you kind of get the full experience when you hear Palmway play, because we have some mbira and some marimba, and horns and guitar and drum set and the works.
Okay. Yeah. And Caden, where do we follow you? Is it best to do Instagram? I know you also run the Bellingham Community Marimba Project.
Yes.
What's the best place to find out more?
Palmway.
Palmway.
You can all go through Palmway.
Yeah, we have a website, YouTube, all of that stuff.
All that. That's the way to go. Okay, cool. You can check out their music online services. It's awesome. And if you want to go to the house concert tonight, give Betsy a call at 209-3202. Why don't you guys hop up there? We'll get one little bit more music as we go out today while I give this info on Betsy here. Betsy's phone number is 907-209-3202. And or you can email junomarimbas@gmail.com. Do that soon because the house concert's a house, which means it's going to fill up. And if you want to get in there, you got to make something happen.
I would say one more super quick thing.
Yeah.
You have the Palmway marimbas. Look them up on Spotify. I'm a recording engineer, and this album is amazing.
Yeah,
it
that's great.
It is so well done. Plus, the musicians and the music on it is just Fantastic.
Look at that. People are already calling you.
They are. Look at that. I'll get that in a second. So we'll play some on Spotify.
We'll play some music on it later here in the show. But let's go out with a little bit more of this music from Jesse and Caden with the Imbira and the Hoshas?
Hosho.
Okay, yeah. Here we go. Go ahead. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-thru locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
This is Bird Note. Some swifts and frigate birds stay aloft for months at a time. Scientists know this because they attached sensors to the birds. What they hadn't been able to learn for certain was whether birds might be sleeping on the wing, and if they do, for how long. It was thought that one half of a bird's brain might sleep at a time, as happens with some birds when resting on the ground. A 2016 study provided some solid answers. Tiny devices attached to the heads of frigate birds tracked electroencephalograph patterns and, crucially, head movements. The results were fascinating. Frigate birds did sleep while aloft, most often one half of the brain at a time, as suspected, but they also fell into normal whole brain sleep and sometimes even deeper REM sleep. But this deepest sleep came in bursts of just a few seconds, during which time the bird's head dipped, but its flight pattern stayed steady. An in-flight power nap. So frigate birds do sleep on the wing, just not very much. On average, 42 minutes per day. When perched on land, they sleep 12 hours a day. What still has scientists puzzled is how they can get by with so little sleep when flying for months at a time. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can also join us on our live stream at KTO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Do you know Community Foundation is 25 years old this year, and they are celebrating in a variety of ways, and one of the biggest is their recent granting of over $100,000 that has been awarded to 20 local arts and culture organizations. That and oh so much more is happening, and I am joined in the studio now, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson, Studio 2K, right here at KTOO. I have Christy Chambor,
hello,
program director at Juno Community Foundation, as well as board member Sandro Lane. Yeah, welcome.
Hi, Boston.
Gunath Cheesh. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both here today. So this is awesome, this news.
Yeah.
I know we have a few other things to talk about, but let's start with this one.
Sure.
So where did this idea come from to celebrate 25 years by giving out money to arts organizations? Where did that thought come from?
Do you want to take this?
Board member, Sandro Lane.
Sure. we really cherish and love our arts community here in Juneau. And the arts organizations are you know, instrumental in keeping a lot of this performances and art going in this town. And, you know, we know that times are probably a little rougher now than they have been for a while, given, you know, current cuts and funding federally and state. All the rest. So we just thought it might be a nice thing to
good
do.
Good time.
To just stick our hands there and say, you know, here we are. If we can help, we will. And we love to support the arts, and we want to make the arts a feature of the Community Foundation. It is a feature. We have an arts fund that that people, you know, can donate into, but we also have an endowed fund, which I work closely with, which is there to annually put out money into the community. This is a one-time $100,000 directed to arts organizations, but the endowment is for arts organizations, but individual artists as well. And we now are in a recruitment period for our funding requests from individual artists. It closes August 15th.
Yes.
I think. Yep.
5 p.m. August 15th.
On the 15th, and we're offering four grants at $2,500 and three at the $5,000, I believe. If anybody needs information on those, they can visit the website, communityfoundation.org, and visit the arts section. So,
yeah, junocf.org. You can find out all the information. The tabs there have all the stuff. There's been a lot of arts groups. I know the National Endowment for the Arts took back some grants that some local organizations had, as well as obviously KTO has been affected with the recent rescission bill. There's so many things that are going on in the current climate with arts organizations. And I really think that, like, Juno has such a vibrant arts community like you're talking about.
And we do.
And just our community comes together so well.
They really, really do.
Yeah,
and this grant, like, it really represents that. And a really wonderful thing happened when we announced the grants. Sealeska Heritage Institute was part of that. We're looking into the various organizations and what was happening, just to try to, you know, keep a finger on the pulse to just know, like, is this the time? Like, is this the best time to come in? And it seems like it was. And they brought us all together. So all of the grant recipients met there. We took a photo together.
I have that photo right here.
Oh, my goodness.
If you're on the stream, you'll
and
be able to
really,
see that.
Yeah.
It was so lovely. I can't stress that enough. Like, it was so fantastic for them to they came to us. They were like, come to the Klan House, let's take a photo, let's have everybody meet. And it really was great to have those conversations and to be in person with folks because, you know, everyone's busy and it's summer, but this was a reason to celebrate.
And these arts organizations didn't apply for this particular grant. This was just something that the Community Foundation decided to do, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I know that I'm sure they all appreciate it. extra money like that is helpful in times of need, and we are certainly in
Absolutely.
A time of need. And you can see all the grant recipients and who was all there and all the list of all the organizations. You can do that at JunoCF.org.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then just to stress to people that those gifts are possible because people give to us and mm-hmm. they give to the funds that support these grants. So the list of the funds of the foundation that participated is also on there, mm-hmm. Which is equally important to look at. You know, those are the folks that, you know, have a vested interest in arts in our community.
Yeah, so. Of course. And you can learn more about that at their website, JunoCF.org. Now, Sandro alluded to this, the Arts Vibrancy Endowment Artist Awards. It's a new title. Maybe.
Correct. Well, I mean, it's a little bit more wordy. I thought I was shortening it, but I may have failed.
It may need a redo. But it's basically what was the Individual Artist Awards. But what was interesting, and I think Amy talked about this last time she was here, is that you opened it up a little bit because it's not just for individuals, right? It can be a pair of people who are applying for a project grant, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
So, or it can be an organization. And, yeah. You know, the I think the concept was initially we weren't going to have enough in our endowment to make it available to a larger and broader array of recipients. So we limited it to individual artist awards. So individual artists who are, you know, needing of funding for projects or for supplies or whatever could apply, because we felt initially where we only have, you know, limited funds, that might be the best place to go. We're growing. We've got almost $1 million now in the endowed fund, which will produce roughly $50,000 a year in available grant monies as it matures now. And so with that, we felt that, okay, now we can begin to cover other than just individual artists, but also arts organizations may apply, the Arts and Humanities Council, theater groups. You know, you just have to identify yourself either as an individual or the organization when you make the application.
Okay, yeah. I thought that Amy had said that organizations weren't eligible. Maybe I heard that wrong. I just want to be clear so people know, because the thing I love about an individual artist grant or a group of people getting together to apply for something is that they're not working through an organization, because organizations are the ones that typically get the money
right.
and then funnel to the artists. What I like about something like this, which is a direct money to the artist.
Yep.
Right.
So can you clarify it for us?
Sure. We wanted to make sure we were capturing, there's so much collaboration that happens with artists
in
various capacities, you know, whether they're playing music together or mm-hmm. they're painting together or they're writing plays together, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And then we also just wanted to recognize that a lot of times these individual artists are going to some of the larger arts organizations and saying, like, I have this piece and we want to work together. And so it's sort of thinking about it a little bit of the opposite way as you explained. So if somebody is, you know, writing a play with somebody and they're in the very early stages of that play, mm-hmm. for example, but they're partnering with one of the larger or like arts organizations for maybe a future production, that work in progress
mm-hmm.
Right.
could apply for a grant.
I see.
So
okay.
they could be tied to the larger organization, but it's really, you know, centering on the folks that are doing these.
It's kind of like a project grant.
It's
then,
like
almost.
A project grant.
Yeah.
Right.
Think
Very
of it as a project
so.
Grant.
Yep.
Okay.
Right.
Working maybe through an organization,
yeah,
but really, yeah.
It's going more to projects like and raising curtains. You know, like if somebody would like to bring a performer up here,
right?
And it costs quite a bit, and if they need some assistance in raising the curtain at the auditorium at the high school or the New Jack Center, you know, whatever, it's kind of something. It's a reservoir where they could apply for some assistance in covering some of those costs, and that's not an individual. That is a collaborative type of event. Same with the theater.
Yeah.
And the symphony and you know, big band, those things are not just one person. It's not an individual artist, but it's a...
Well, we've got a couple more weeks to apply.
Yes.
As we mentioned, August 15th is the deadline. And, of course, you can go to junocf.org and find out all of the information. I'm sure there's a tab right there to direct you to this grant.
Try to make it as easy as possible.
As easy as possible. Yes. Click the button and read about it. Get all the rules in there. Get your projects figured out and apply for those grants. Those are awesome. And one last thing we want to mention today, Christy, which is this awesome, there's some barbecue.
Zitch. Yeah.
What's going on?
A community barbecue.
Well, tell me about it.
So way back when, I think it was 2019, we were the recipient of a grant in partnership with Alaska Department of Fish and Game, Trail Mix, the U.S. Forest Service, CBJ. Mm. And it was for this portion of the Treadwell Ditch Trail to help in basically reconnecting it. Mm. So it's the first time the ditch has been connected in over a century.
Whoa.
Yeah. Which is wild when you think about it.
That is. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're having this community celebration on Saturday, August 2nd. Okay. All are welcome. It's a barbecue from 1 to 4 p.m. at the log cabin.
On the beach, Sandy Beach.
At Sandy Beach. Come one, come all. We're there to celebrate all of the volunteers and people that made that project possible.
That's cool. And where do people find out more about that? Is that on your Facebook page or?
That is on Facebook. That's also on our website.
Okay.
And a lot of really wonderful donors from this community, big and small, gave to make that project happen. So, you know, in addition to volunteers and everybody that was like hands-on in the dirt, those folks also made this possible. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wonderful community effort.
It really is.
That's pretty amazing.
The board.
The Treadwell Ditch Community Barbecue is happening on Saturday, August 2nd, and you said it was at 1 o'clock?
Starts at 1.
Come one, come all. Drop in, drop out, however you want to do
it. However you want to roll.
Over there at Sandy Beach. Read more about the anniversary grants to various arts organizations around Juneau, and also learn about the Arts Vibrancy Endowment Artists Award application over at junocf.org. Sandro, Christy, thank you so much for coming in today.
Boston.
Thanks
and
you.
Sharing this news with us. It's always good. It always gives me a warm heart, you know, because I feel like our community is blessed in so many ways. And the Juneau Community Foundation helps so many different organizations to manage the funds and manage their endowments and manage all the things. You manage the KTO Legacy Fund.
Absolutely.
And you do so much for this community. So happy 25 years.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thanks, KTO.
You're welcome. Thank you, Sandra. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO. Let's listen to a little bit of that marimba music that we were just talking about in the previous segment, Pomway Marimba. Here they are. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That was a little Pomway Marimbas. You can hear a couple of band members of that having their house concert tonight. You can go back and listen to our first segment. You can reach out to Betsy Sims if you want to try to get to that house concert this evening at 7 o'clock. I'm Boston Christopher, your host. Have you ever heard the slogan, aging so cool, everyone is doing it. Well, that is the motto of the Juno Commission on Aging, and Commission Chair Deborah Craig joins me now to share about some upcoming events and more. Gwyneth Cheesh, hi. Yugudi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to see you again, Deborah. How are you?
I am great. I love the marimba music. That was so much fun.
It's good. Get your body moving.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. And as usual, the Juno Commission on Aging has a ton of stuff going on to announce. And so just as a reminder, the Juno Commission on Aging is appointed by the CBJ Assembly to represent seniors and elders in our community. So we have three different priorities. The first is age-friendly community planning, ensuring that our community takes into consideration the needs of all our seniors and elders. And I just left the office of Minta Montalbo, who is the senior planner at CBJ, who's working on the Juno Comprehensive Plan. Mm. And we got together to ensure that, again, Juno seniors are being represented in that comprehensive plan. And I am really excited about the process that the CBJ is going through to create this plan. It's a little bit different than plans in the past. And I think everybody should take a look at what's going on there. Check out Our Future at juno.gov to look at what's going on with the Juno Comprehensive Plan and for meetings in the future. We also have an age-friendly community action plan that you could see on our website. Just Google the Juno Commission on Aging, and you'll get to see the plan and the kinds of priorities that we're talking about implementing for all seniors and elders. Well, for everybody in town, because like you said, aging is so cool, everybody's doing it.
I love that slogan. It's so good. Yeah.
Our second priority is housing, and I wanted to announce that we are partnered with AARP on lots of things. And on August 26th, AARP is hosting a Design for Life, Exploring Housing for All Ages and Stages of Life. And everybody in the community is invited to attend. It's via a Zoom, 9 a.m. Tuesday, August 26th. We have their poster on our website as well. So again, just Google Juno Commission on Aging, and right there at the top of the page, you'll see a link to look at the Design for Life workshop. And what it's about is a community forum to explore key features to include in homes that enhance safety and independence for people of all ages. So that should be super fun.
Yeah.
I also wanted to update people. This is sort of related to housing because it's supporting people who are living at home who may be experiencing some challenges. I've talked to a lot of people lately who talked about the Bridge Adult Day Program, and they said, gee, what's happening with Bridge? Is it even still open? Bridge is open, going strong, and they have been awarded a $125,000 grant from the Alzheimer's Association for dementia respite innovation to enhance the quality and availability of dementia-specific respite care for people living with dementia and their caregivers in Juno.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So if you have a need to work with the Bridge or want more information about the Bridge, just call 907-463-6170. And if you didn't have time to write that down, you can just go to the Juno Commission on Aging website and go to one of our links about services, and you'll see these phone numbers there. The last update we have is about recreation and wellness, and I wanted to share that Search is doing a dental research study for seniors.
Dental research study.
I know. This is so cool because so much data is coming out about your mouth, your oral health, your gut health, and how that affects your brain health. It affects diabetes. It affects Alzheimer's. It's really amazing how much data is emerging about the importance of gut and mouth health. So Search is partnering with the University of Alabama to study oral health in Search patients at or over the age of 60 in Southeast. So the goal is to enhance dental care and improve our oral health. There's some the eligibility is 60 years or older, a Search dental patient, have at least one natural tooth. Oh my gosh, hope you have more than that. And to be able to complete a 15-minute survey. And if you want more information about this, and again, dental services are such a big deal, not just for seniors, for everybody. Having good dental health, you can contact Ann Simard at Search at 907-364 4529. And again, you can go to the Juno Commission on Aging website because we have all this stuff listed there in one easy peasy place so that people can find this information easily without having to look around.
Yeah, and the best thing is just put in your favorite search engine, Juno Commission on Aging, and it'll take you right there. Because government pages always have a lot of slashes and extra things in it. And but once you just Google it, put it in your favorite search engine. If you don't like Google, you'll find it. It's really easy. You can bookmark it, and then you just keep going back to it. Because you all have things going on all the time. And basically what you're you talked a little bit about what the Juno Commission does, but like these are all events that are either you're partnering with or that are separate organizations, but your job as the commission is to sort of highlight these things and bring that awareness to Junoites, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Wow, what a great synopsis. I'm going to have to listen to this later and take down, use that as my elevator speech in the future. That was great, Boston. That's exactly what we're trying to do, is we're trying to kind of be a home for a lot of things that are happening that are affecting seniors and elders and make sure that they have access to that information. So our website, like you said, is super easy to get to, and there's some links on the left-hand side that will take you to some different information, like where you could volunteer or where you could get the information about some of the services that I've been talking about. But we have a couple more things, because under our recreation and wellness priority, again, we have the three priorities: planning, housing, and recreation and wellness. We are working in concert with AARP and the CBJ with Walks to the Library on July 30th. This is happening at the Douglas Library at 9 a.m., and this is to encourage health. I mean, if there's anything that we want to encourage for seniors and elders and people of all ages, is to have a healthy body. And so getting out and walking, getting out and doing activities is super important. So on July 30th, there's a walk to the library at 9 a.m. In Douglas. On August 18th, there's a walk to the whale at 9 a.m. And also, we're celebrating on August 20th, the AARP is celebrating 90 years of Social Security.
Whoa.
And so on August 20th at the Douglas Library from 3 to 4:30, come and share some cake and your stories about Social Security. And I think a lot of us know that right now, a lot of these services are feeling a little bit tenuous. Mm-hmm. And so this is an opportunity to bring people together and talk about how valuable and important these programs are for seniors and for their families. Because when seniors are independent, because all these services are working in place and their families are relieved of some of those issues as well, some of those burdens as well. So
I'm sure we'll talk more about the walk to the library in our next segment with the Juno Public Libraries as well, which will be awesome.
Yeah, you will.
So when you – and, of course, you can get all this information at the website for Juno Commission on Aging. Just put that in your favorite search engine. I have a question for you, Deborah, which is – You mentioned the three priorities, right? And did the commission, when it was first founded, how did they come up with those three as the main priorities?
That's a great question, and I appreciate your asking it. I became the chair about a year and a half ago, and because scope creep in any effort is so easy, you know, it's really easy to look around and say there's so much need that your efforts can become diffused. Mm-hmm. And so the commission got together and said, what is it that is important to the seniors in Juno that they want us to work on? And we had the senior survey from 2020. We did listening sessions at the libraries. We gathered a bunch of information, and what they perpetually told us is that we want more wellness-related activities. And that's pretty broad too, right? Mm-hmm. Because that includes medical care and home health care and a lot of other issues. But housing, wellness, and having a plan for seniors is what kept perking up and making sense for us. So we identified those three priorities as the ones that we would be working on. We're sort of continually returning to those priorities and saying, is this what seniors really want us to work on now, given the current circumstances? And so towards the end of the year, we'll have another planning session and look at whether or not we need to change those priorities or how we might spend more energy on particular priorities.
I love it being so specific. You know, it was funny because I was on LinkedIn and I was with somebody on there was recommending that people sometimes, let's say like in a job description, right? There's sometimes in a job description, there's like 10 bullet points that you're going to be responsible for, which may just, like you said, have so much creep or so much that really isn't possible. And this it was a consultant or something on there. And it was like, I challenge you to write your job descriptions with 3 bullet points,
right?
To see if you can distill it down to make sure you know exactly what the core of that job function is. And I love this with the commission to be able to say, hey, these are the 3 things that we're identifying. These are the things that we want to focus on. And then you can work with the partners to figure out how do we then find those things that are within that scope and present that to the community.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think that's really great.
And we're getting traction on these. I mean, the age-friendly community plan was one of our goals. Now we've written it.
Yeah.
And today when I met with Ms. Montalvo, again, the senior planner at CBJ for the CBJ Comprehensive Plan, they said, this is great. This gives us a lot of data to work from. You've already reached out to this whole cohort. And again, seniors represent 30% of the population in Juneau. Mm. So you've already reached out to this huge cohort. So we might just be continuing to work with the CBJ with regards to the comprehensive plan. But we're going to check this off of our list because we completed it. And
that feels
pretty good.
What is, you said 30% of Juneau is seniors. What age is considered to be a senior now?
Over 55. And that number declines for obvious reasons.
I don't know what those are. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Those numbers decline, and people look at the age cohort differently. Some say 50 and above, some say 55, some say 65. So there's different data from different sources in terms of what those numbers are. But this number came from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, which has a incredible data rich mechanism for getting information and then giving it back to the community.
I love
their
that.
Trends magazine.
That's the number. It used to be, I mean, you would always think, it was for me, it was always when you could, you know, what age could you get a discount at the movies or the restaurant or whatever? And those always change and they kept upping it.
Right.
You know, because it's like, I think it's 65 now for most people. But since I've reached that 55 age point, I want those discounts.
Absolutely. Join AARP too, because they have a killer magazine that comes out all the time.
I love it. Deborah Craig from the Juneau Commission on Aging. You can put in your favorite search engine, Juneau Commission on Aging. You find out everything that we talked about here. I'll also link it on the episode page for today's show. So really thank you for being here, Deborah. We'll see you next time. Gunath Sheesh for being here.
Gunath Sheesh, thank you so much, Boston. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, you too. That's a little more Pamwe Marimba from earlier in the show. You can check them out on all of the streaming services. You can find their music. That's Pamwe Marimba. You're listening to Community Supported Juneau Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juneau, 91.7 Juneau Oak Bay, and online at kto.org. I'm Boston Christopher. Time once again for our chat with the Juneau Public Libraries about upcoming events and more. And joining me as always is Jen Gardner. Gunath Sheesh, Wasiiti. How are you today, Jen?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Awesome. I'm excellent. Wish the sun had stayed, but it's all good. Things happen, you know. It's still summer, which means there's still summer reading,
summer
right?
Summer reading, yes. It is unfortunately drawing to its conclusion, though.
No!
So our last day to submit your reading games is August 9th. So keep reading, keep playing the games, do as many as you can by August 9th and turn them in. Remember, kids who turn in those games can get a book prize when they turn it in. And then everybody who turns in a game gets entered into our prize drawings. And so we'll be closing out on the 9th on accepting games and then doing prize drawings the following week for both adults and kids, and we'll contact winners after that point.
That's so cool. I love that. And what's the response like for the reading games? Because I know adults can do it with their kids. Adults can do it on their own. Like, kids can do it on their own, right?
We've gotten a lot of excitement. We have multiple ways to participate. So you can both register and enter your games online as well as in person at any library. So there's a lot of ways for people to engage with it. We've had plenty of solo adults come and play the game. And, you know, we designed it specifically so that it's applicable to all ages and so that families can do it together as well.
And this isn't just like you have to read a whole novel. This is just promoting reading.
Exactly. We keep the goals really general. And so you can either choose, you know, for each challenge to read for 20 minutes, or you can choose to read a whole book. So you can tailor it to whatever level of challenge is best for you. And then for activities, you get to choose off of a whole list of things that are kind of inspiring you to learn and engage with your community and get outside. But they're very open-ended, and it's all honor system based. So we just want people to be reading, exploring books, thinking about learning, and engaging with their community over the summer.
I love that. Okay, let's talk about some upcoming events. What you got for us?
Yeah, we have a few more summer reading events coming up. We have a Baby Raven Reads Story Time happening at the Valley Library this Saturday, the 26th at 1 p.m. On Sunday the 27th, there's going to be a game day. That's a monthly event, and that's going to be at the Douglas Library. And then we have, of course, our Walk to the Library events with Parks and Rec and AARP on July 30th and August 18th. One will be at the Douglas Library and one will be at the Downtown Library.
Oh, so there's a couple of them. Okay.
There are a couple coming up. Yep. And the one downtown on August 18th is going to be the Sea Walk. And it's a ship-free morning, so it'll be a really nice day to enjoy walking around downtown and then having a break at the library to browse for books and have a snack.
Oh, I see. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. And then the library is also participating in the CBJ Month of Play. So if you're doing the Goose Chase Scavenger Hunt, there are clues hidden around the library. Some of them are exploring the collections. Some are using library resources. Some you might need to ask a librarian for some help. So
is that part of it, is to actually have to ask the librarian to help you?
You don't have to if you can find things on your own, but there's some things like, where does the dictionary live in the library that you might need help finding? So we're there to help if you need it.
I know we're going to have CBJ Parks and Rec on tomorrow. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about the events that are going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then I know no one wants to talk about going back to school just yet. But we do have a back to school party planned. We're collaborating with the Zach Gordon Youth Center. And that's going to be on Tuesday, August 12th at the Valley Library from 2 to 4 p.m.
Okay.
This is the first time we've done this event. We're going to have some free school supplies and snacks for kids to take to their first week of school. You pick out your own snacks and bring them with to school. We're going to have pencil cases that you can decorate with Sharpie art. We're also going to have a group art project to work on, Polaroid pictures, and some face painting with our face paint extraordinaire, Lacey. So very exciting.
I love that. I guess school does get started here in a few weeks, right?
It's soon. And I know that can be a challenging transition for some. So we're hoping to both offer some supplies, but also have some fun and celebrate the change of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are some awesome events. Lots of things coming up. And of course, you can go to the website, juno.org/library. And this is interesting because there's an easier way to find it, just called Library Events now under the tab. Yeah, you can just hit that button and it shows you the calendar.
If you go to our calendar, there's a tab in the calendar where you click Library Events and you'll just see all of the things that are just library events. So our story time, our summer reading events, anything that is a library-sponsored program or
something
event.
That you're in. Yeah, that's great. Okay, that's really cool. I like that. It makes it simpler to find and to distill it down for the information. Okay, and do you have, I see you have something over there. You have a little book for
us.
I've
got a book to share. Yeah. This one is called The Camp Out Cookbook, Inspired Recipes for Cooking Around the Fire and Under the Stars. So I know we're talking about the end of summer, but I'm not quite ready to let it go. So I brought this cookbook because I think it's a really fun way to celebrate summer, get outside, and get some inspiration for things that you can cook and enjoy while you're out there. So there's things in this book, such as even like how to build a good fire, cooking with Dutch ovens, 99 ways and counting to use a thermos, 5 clever camping hacks. So there's recipes in here, all kinds of things, sandwiches, cast iron cornbread. And then there's also helpful hints like what to pack in your backpack.
It's
a fun book for anyone who's thinking about doing some final summer adventures and you want to eat well before we transition into fall.
I love that. That's so cool. The Camp Out Cookbook. And you have it, so it means it's available. Somebody doesn't have it checked out.
Yeah, I have it. I'm going to be turning it back in and it'll be heading to the shelf at the Valley Library. But remember that you can put things on hold and have them sent to any library you want.
Oh, that's really cool. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jen. It's always a pleasure to have you come in. Just to wrap up, the summer reading games are wrapping up on August 9th. And so keep reading, keep plugging away at your games. It is on the honor system, which we know in Juneau, everybody's honorable. And that's going to be fun. You can turn those in at any of the libraries,
at
right?
At any library or online.
Or online, which is nice. Okay. And then, of course, all the different events that we talked about, Baby Raven Reads, the game day, walks to the library, etc., are all available at juneau.org/library. Jen, thanks so much for coming in. I really appreciate you being here today.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, we chat with Craig Davis, who recently completed his Ride for Peace from Canada to Juno. And we talk also with President and General Manager of KTOO about the federal funding cuts, what that means for KTOO and public media in Alaska. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. You can find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. You can also find live stream archives on KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support for Juno Afternoon comes from listeners and viewers like you, especially now, more important than ever. And Alaska Airlines Club 49, Hanson Gress, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunath Cheesh, and have a lovely Juno evening. Also, you can switch on over to KXLL right now at 101.7 or 100.7 KXLL. You can join DJ Kelly. She's going to be over there with some special guests today. She'll be on the air from 4 to 5. You can hop on over and check her show out. She airs that show every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, right after Juno Afternoon on KXLL. Gunath Cheesh, have a good evening, everybody.